the different avak, the dust of Gilui Arayos. So we said, the Mesillas Yesharim says that if you want to be clean of an Aveira, you have to be clean of all of its subtle nuances. And when it comes to Gilui Arayos, it applies to not only action, but speech and hearing and everything. And he would explain now what's it called, action. He explained already. Now he's talking about speech, hearing. Ubishmiya amru kol beisha erva. It's also for a man to hear a woman's singing voice.
Okay.
What?
Where are we?
Oh, where are we?
In the Mesillas
Yesharim. On Bishmiya, page 50. If you have the same one we have.
No, I got the same.
In this one? Perek Yud Aleph. We have Dibur's next, no?
No,
it's
one right before that.
Two lines before. That's right. Yeah.
Ah, okay, no, we didn't do that. Okay.
The English is
page Samachay. Samachay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We'll go back a line. Okay. I thought we got up to this. Yeah, I remember last time we were speaking about ugly old women. Okay. Yeah. That was David Small's last question. Right? Right? Because he says it's even an ugly young woman or a pretty old woman, and we're worrying about ugly old women. What did that was, sounds like was okay. Okay. The Inyan Hadibur. Okay, so that we spoke about what's it called? Actions, okay, and seeing, looking intently, men to women or women to men. We'll see. I said we'd speak about how this applies to women in a little while. We still didn't get there yet. But for men, right now it's men. Men are not allowed to intently look at women. And also the next thing is, Binyan Hadibur im Ha'isha Behed Yeshaninu Kolamar Besicha im Ha'isha Gorim Roli Atzmo. Not even it's your own wife. To talk, idle talk, with a woman leads to, it's not your wife, for sure. It's not, not the proper thing to, speak things that aren't necessary. Sicha means not necessary talk. Necessary talk is okay, but unnecessary just leads to a meeting of the minds, and that leads to more than minds, of improper connection between men and women. So a person's wife could be talking dafka when she's a nida, and could be talking stam, just talking too much with anybody is not a positive thing. On the other hand, where it's positive, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says in the tshuva that he used to stay up way past midnight talking to his wife about Divrei Yira Shamayim or whatever. So Isser in talking to your wife or husband, or even talking to another woman if it's necessary. But where it's not necessary, the only thing it'll lead to is things that are not appropriate. Okay. Okay, now Ubishmiya. Bishmiya Amru, call the Isha Erva. First thing that Arayas can be is listening to the singing voice of a woman who is not, is usher to you. There's two isurim here. Two different things. One is that, you're not allowed to hear, the voice of an erva. Okay, that's usher. Even if you're not learning Torah, you're not saying brachas, you're not davening, it's usher to hear. That only applies to somebody who's an erva to you. But a man is allowed to listen to his wife sing. Okay? If she's a nida, it's preferable that he doesn't. But she's always not a nida. There's no problem of listening to your wife singing or to somebody who's not usher to you. Meaning, a little girl who's not yet reached puberty. She's less than 12 years old. Like she's, according to her emotions, she's less than 11 years old. Because puberty over here doesn't mean she's a gadola, means she hasn't yet started becoming a nida. So theoretically, you could marry her. Right? A man can marry as many women as he wants, minat Torah. It's only rabbinic. So she's not osur to you. At that point, and what's it called? You're allowed to listen to a little girl singing. And little girl, Moshe says, up till about 11 years old. If you know for sure that she's not 11, but she's reached puberty, then it's also But we assume most of the time girls till they're 11 are not yet mature. So a listening to girls under that age is not also. Okay. However, there's a separate issue, separate thing. And that is, you're not allowed to learn Torah or say brachas or daven opposite an erva. That includes this verbal audio erva too. And therefore, even a person's wife, when she's singing, right, called the isha erva, you're not allowed to learn Torah or what's it called, to say brachas, keneged that. So when it comes to Torah brachas, it's across the board. When it comes to the isra of hearing it altogether, that's only somebody who you're not allowed to live with, have relations with, and that excludes a person's own wife, his mother, his daughter. Okay, stam to hear their singing voices, okay, but you can't learn Torah or what's it called, say brachas at the same time. And a girl who's under maturity. Age. Okay. This does not apply for women to men. A woman is allowed to hear a man sing. Doesn't apply. That's not the. It's a man's voice is never an erva to a woman, but a woman's voice is an erva. Now, there are situations where there are those who say that there's a place to be lenient. In most of these situations, we are not lenient. Okay, but if you put a lot of them together, and there are other extenuating circumstances, then perhaps is a place to, at times, to be lenient. But across the board, not. What are they? Some people hold that if it's more than one woman singing at a time, a chorus, that that's not awesome. Because trei koli lo mishtamoi. You can't really hear two voices at the same time. Many hold that's not the case. What you can't hear of two voices is the words. But you definitely, a woman doesn't have to sing words to be osur. She can hum a tune, and it's osur. So, if you hear the tune, even without the words, it's still osur. So, this heter is a very weak heter, but there are those that hold. Therefore, if you hear a chorus of women, that's one possibility. Second possibility. If the women are singing Shirei Kodesh, they're singing Torah songs, Zmiras, it doesn't apply. Since they're singing Divrei Kedusha, a person's not going to be aroused to the wrong kind of things from Divrei Kedusha. That also is not accepted by most poskim, because even though you're hearing the words of Divrei Kedusha, that's still a woman's voice. But there is a shita that holds like that. Third thing is, if they're, what's it called, not live, but on a tape, a record, that's not called kol b'isha. It has to be from the woman herself, okay? And especially if you don't know the woman, never met her, and all you hear is her voice. That even makes it more of a heter. We're not somach on that either. And listening to a woman's voice on a recording is also awesome. However, in a situation where it may be your parnasa depends on it, okay, you have to go to a business meeting and they have a girls' choir singing. And if you get up and walk out, you may lose your job. Then, in those kind of situations, these are things that could be relied on b'di'evit. Many women singing together, singing divrei kedusha in front of you. You're a guest at somebody's house. And their meaning is that they sing zmiras together. Here you have more than one heter. Yeah, they're singing shirei kodesh, and a lot of people are singing together. And there's another thing. It's not just women singing. It's men and women singing together, so you can't even distinguish the woman's voice. When it's a lot of women, I said, at least you're hearing a woman's voice. You're just not hearing the words. But when it's men and women, it mixes together. Then this idea of trei kali, lo mishtamai, you can't distinguish the women's voice as a separate entity. It all gets blended in. Especially if the men are singing louder than the women. The women are bedafka singing a little bit lower. In that kind of situation, you're a guest at somebody's house, or even in your own house, for people at the table to sing zmiros together, and the women to sing along, but lower than the men, and the men to sing a little bit louder, so they don't drown out the women, but at least you can't hear the women's voices separate, and it's also shirei kodesh, and it's a lot of people together, there's a place to be mekel, and to allow people to sing zmiros at the table together, and not to make a big deal about it. So if you're a guest at somebody's house, you don't have to get up and walk out or put earplugs in your ears or whatever. And if it's in your own home and people start to sing along, or you, that's what you do, you don't necessarily have to change your minig. There are definitely a terim for people to sing. I know my Rosh Yeshiva, I eat by their homes many times of Shabbos, and their daughters sang zmiras by the table together with everybody, and nobody said a word. It was accepted. Okay, so that's called isha. It only applies, according to most poskim, with women's singing voice. There's no isher to listen to a woman talk, not sing. Okay. There are poskim will hold that a woman who's giving a formal speech, that's considered like singing. Because you have to make, you know, gestures, and you have to project yourself, and therefore there are poskim will hold that women are not allowed to speak in front of men. Public speaking, kind of speaking. In Chutz La'aretz, okay, even by the Haredi Olam, that's not the halach. In Kemat, any Beis Yaakov I knew, they have graduation. Fathers, grandfathers, brothers go to graduation. Many places they make the men, it depends, and what men sit behind the mechitza, because most of the people are women. And women get up and talk. The Nahelet gets up and talks. The Mechanechet, the valedictorian gets up and talks. And no problem. No problem. They don't tell the men to leave. And I know in Cleveland, the Representative Osband, who was a nice frum lady, that's it called, spoke at graduation in front of a mixed audience. Mixed audience means they have the men on one side, they never machit, so they have men on one side, women on the other side. And she spoke. Here in Eretz Yisrael, may not be acceptable in certain places, not including Moshav Matit Yohu, but in other places, and it depends where, it may not be accepted or not, and you should go to feel the minig of the place. If that's what their minig is, then, but halachically, there definitely are those who hold that it's okay for a woman to speak, even public speaking in front of men. That's not us.
The places that don't, I thought it was for a totally different reason. Because they hold it's not sneeze, it's stunts just to be up on stage in front of other people.
No, Rav Osner holds that that's called coalition. But it could be they hold that also not. Right? Then there would be that even if a woman's not singing. Right? If a woman to get up and play violin in front of So according to Rav David said that would be the same thing. That wouldn't be Kalisha though.
Right.
Right. But lemaisa, except for dancing in front of men, right, just to get up and speak, or to play a musical instrument, meitzad hadin is probably okay. Again, if the minig in that place is not to allow that, then it's a different story.
Does public speaking mean like what I'm doing right now, or does that mean like giving a shiur?
Giving a shiur. I don't think anybody holds that kol be'isha is the regular, normal, daily talking of women. Otherwise, then you couldn't talk to a woman at all. At least she couldn't answer you. That wouldn't be too bad, would it? Maybe an Indian to institute that over here. Okay. Old be'inyan's noose. Okay, so that's one aspect of Gilui Arayis of with speech, listening to a woman sing. Again, it doesn't apply from men to women. Women are allowed to listen to men sing. Okay. The next thing is Inyan Hapeva Ozen Dahinu Adibur B'Divrei Haznus, talking inappropriate talk, racy talk. What is it called? Lascivious talk. Oh, hashmiel edvarmi, or listening to somebody talk things that are not appropriate. Okay. Kfar tzavchu kikruchya v'amru lo yira b'cha ervas davar ervas dibur z'nivul peh, or speaking not cursing. But now, you know, the... not slang.
Innuendo?
Vulgar, that's it. Vulgar language. Okay? Things that are inappropriate kind of talk. Okay. Now this, right, and va'amru ba'avon nivlus peh b'churi yisrael meisim chas v'shalom, that causes speaking nivul peh. Nivul peh literally means that your speech is like an avela, it's like a dead carcass. Because speech is sound waves, but when it has a content to it, a spiritual content, it's like a body with a soul. The spiritual content is the soul, and the body is the sound waves. But when there is no content, just the opposite. The inner content is something that's vulgar and vile. So there's no neshama. So there's only a body. A body without neshama is an avela. It's like a dead animal. So your speech becomes like a dead animal. That's called nivul peh. So that chas v'shalom could cause young people to die. Nivul peh. It's an idea of, it creates a situation of death in the world. So it affects young, even young people. V'omru od kolam enavul pi mamikim lo gehenim. Person who speaks nivul peh, who speaks vulgar, vile things. Gehenim is, they make Gehenim deeper for him. V'omru od, hakol yodim kala loma nichneses l'chupa, el hakol ha-menadol pi, v'afilu gzardin shul ayin shon l'tova, hofkin lo v'ra. Everybody knows why people get married. But somebody who graphically describes what that is... what's it called? It says even if he has a good decree of 70 years on him, it's torn up. It's a serious aveira. The omru old, afilu sicha kala bein ish leishto magidim l'odim b'shas adin. Even just some conversation between husband and wife that's improper, there is brought up b'yom adin, and a person has to give accounting for it. Okay, so that is... And listening to it is also no good. Even a person who hears vulgar and doesn't protest it, or doesn't walk away at least, just listens and enjoys it, he also, what's it called, incites the anger of the Rabbanim. We see that all of a person's faculties, all of his senses, have to be clean of arayis. Not thinking, not looking, not hearing, not speaking, and so on. And even smell, right? It says you're not allowed to smell the perfume of a woman on a woman's clothing or whatever, because also it arouses the, what's it called, thoughts that are not proper. Now, for a woman, what's it called, what of these things are also? We said a woman's, yeah.
Just like a general nipple pair. What's going on nowadays? There are a certain vulgar vocabulary that it's become so common among certain societies to use it, they don't think of the actual original meanings of it. They just use it very... For what, you know.
I'm not going to ask you for examples.
Yeah. So I say, does that become not nivel peh anymore because it's not used necessarily in those contexts?
I don't know. If the words still have a connotation that is that could, what's it called, be connected to things that are inappropriate in these areas, then the Chariya.
If it's not used in that context.
Right, if it's lost that context completely, right, and nobody thinks of that when they say those words or whatever, then the Chariya, it's lost its context. It's not, you know, if people make up, you know, a code or a whatever, and when they say this word, it means that, then it becomes Osir. But if for somebody else who doesn't know that's what it means, it's perfectly okay. So if it lost that context of Islam, it's okay. If it didn't lose the context, then it's also okay. The so that there are things where men are affected and was therefore usher, and women are not affected, it's not usher. How about reading material that is suggestive, okay, that leads a person to think about things that are not proper? So here, is it still a difference between men and women? And that is the following. A man is usur to think, read, look at anything that could arouse him, even if the thing itself is not usur per se, but it could lead him to other avers, without going into detail. A woman, where that doesn't apply to, is not allowed, and then there's another reason also why his thoughts are usur, because it says, Lo sasuru achri levavchem v'achrei nechem, and achrei nechem is nus. Not allowed to think about prohibited things, fantasize about prohibited things. Okay. That issur applies to men and women equally. So a woman who reads a novel that is inappropriate, and because of that, thinks in her mind, fantasizes in her mind, things that are usher to do. Married woman, she's thinking about some other guy or something in this book. Even though it's a fantasy, it's usher. It's usher for a man too, for sure. But let's say it's not usher. Not something usher. It's fantasizing about something that's not usher to her at all. An unmarried woman fantasizing about some guy who she perhaps would want to marry someday. Or could marry, theoretically. Okay? For a woman, Pasha's not usher. Because she's not fantasizing about something that's usher, and it's not going to lead her to anything wrong, because there's no such thing by a woman to be led to. By a man, that would still be usher. Because he's arousing himself in a way that could lead him to other isur. Even though the actual thought itself is not something that's an erva, it's not an arise. For a man to fantasize about some unmarried woman, and he's not married either, he is married, but let's make it easier that he's not married. He's fed by some unmarried woman, that's also for him. For a woman, then the opposite, say, could be, it wouldn't be also for a woman. Okay, that's what it seems from a tshuva that Moshe has. It seems that for a woman, it's only also if what she's fantasizing is something that's also. If it's something mutter, for a man it's also, for a woman it should be mutter. Okay. What else over here was the difference between men and women? Not too much else. Otherwise, all these isurim apply equally. A woman is allowed, again, without fantasizing, whatever, a woman is allowed to look at men dancing. They did it by Simchas Beis HaShoeva. They had women upstairs and they watched right? They do it all the time. Women watch men dance, right? A man to watch women dancing is awesome. Because obviously, again, the way most men dance, there's nothing arousing about watching a man dance. But it's not because of that, right? Even if it's a, you know, really, what's that guy's name? Rudolph, whatever his name was, the Russian dancer, ballet dancer, right? What?
Nureyev? Valentina?
Yeah. Whoever it is, right? The
Peter Pan.
That's not the reason. Is like we said a few weeks ago, women and men are different. Okay, and again, I can't speak from the other side. But supposedly, okay, women are more affected by not visual things, affected by other things. And men are affected more by what they see. So therefore, for a man to look at a woman dance is awesome. For a woman to look at a man dance is not necessarily, it doesn't have the same effect. So therefore, it's not awesome. Yeah.
The Rav was talking before, I don't remember what we were talking about. I think about men smelling perfume or something. And the Rav, I think, was going to say something about...
Women doing, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that is... Again, if it leads a woman to fantasize about something that's usher to her, right, then the heart should be usher because of that. If it doesn't, I'm not sure if that applies for a woman smelling a man's cologne is the same issue of a man smelling a woman's... And even a man is allowed to, he doesn't have to walk, if he's walking in the street and women are wearing perfume, he doesn't have to hold his nose. It just means bedafka, on purpose, going and taking a whiff of either the perfume on a woman, obviously, or even on her clothing, on the line, or something like that, with the intent of, you know, getting a feeling of this woman, even if he doesn't know who she is or whatever. That's what's awesome.
So what about men and women wearing this stuff?
For a woman to wear perfume, sure is okay. A man to wear cologne is okay. Most poskim hold bizmanas essence, the minig is for men to wear cologne. It's not a womanly thing. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't put perfume on his clothing, bedafka, because it used to be a sign of... men who are not Bisman Hazeh, that's not the case necessarily. Okay, and therefore they say that men are allowed to wear cologne. Can use deodorant or whatever. It's not. Some people are machmir and they. Don't use deodorant or whatever, but that's not no halacha like that. But those are basically, except for what I mentioned, pretty much men and women are the same. Those specific things that are visual kinds of things, there may be a difference. Okay, and the perfume also may be a difference. But if you bedafka, but that's also for men. The stam is also for women too. And both of them can wear, and you can. You don't have to put a clothespin on your nose when you're in public, right? Because you may smell somebody else's perfume or cologne or whatever. It's just where you bedafka do it, bekavana, which, again, somebody who does that is obviously not all there altogether. So, right. So if you have somebody, you know, on your clothesline, you know that it's not right. Okay. Beyond that, it's okay. Okay. Okay, we'll continue, Mitzvah Shem. Next week there will be a Shira Mitzvah Shem.